James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to worship you tonight. Thank you for these wonderful testimonies, God's goodness and grace. I pray that you'd bless us tonight around your word. I pray that you'd help us to take courage. Help us, Lord, to realize where we are on God's timetable. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to draw nigh to God. And Lord, I pray that we'd make an extra effort to reach souls for Jesus while there's still time. We'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to preach tonight for a few minutes on the patience of the saints. Patience in the Bible is often related to the return of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, this chapter is on the coming of the Lord. It says, in your patience possess ye your souls. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36 tells us, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. And then the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So when the Bible talks about patience, oftentimes it is in reference to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the next great event on the calendar, the Christian calendar. In Christ's redemption plan, the next great event is the return of Jesus Christ. There are seven major events in Christ's redemptive work: his birth, his baptism, his transfiguration, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, and his return. Jesus has gone back with the promise that I'm coming back again. So we're waiting on this final stage of redemption, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm sure that it's just as sure to happen as the other six were. It's just as sure his second return is just as sure to happen as his first coming. The Bible predicts it. Jesus promised it. In John chapter 14, as our sister read to us tonight, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus told us he's coming again. Angels tell us that Jesus is coming again. They stood with the disciples, appeared to the disciples as they watched Jesus go out of sight, said, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you've seen go away will so come in like manner as you've seen him go away. The apostles repeated it in their letters, told us over and over again that Jesus Christ is coming back again. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9 and 28, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin, that is, without a sin offering, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the Bible assures us over and over again, Jesus is coming back again. And there's a value to us in the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is our blessed hope. The Bible tells us in Titus 2 and 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It is the blessed hope of the people of God. Praise the Lord. I have hope tonight. Hallelujah. As the people of God, we have hope. Christ in us is the hope of glory. We are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our comfort. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, he said, comfort one another with these words. It is our blessed hope, it is our comfort that Jesus Christ is coming back again. It's our motivation to holy living, brother. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3 and 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The Bible also tells us that everyone that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So the coming of the Lord is a motivation for holy living. Praise God. Everybody that's looking for the Lord to come back will be careful about how they walk, how they live, and how they conduct themselves. Brother Matthew, give me a little juice on this right here. So when a man is looking for the coming of the Lord, you can tell it by how he's living. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a lot of folks say, I believe Jesus is coming soon, but you couldn't tell it by the way they're living. But when a man's really expecting the coming of the Lord, you can tell it by the way he lives. Praise God. Twice, James mentions the need for patience. He says in verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. The context of this suffering is at the hands of the rich. And he's telling us, he's saying, patiently endure suffering in anticipation of relief at Christ's return. We understand that whatever suffering we go through, it's not going to last forever. And there will be a day that Jesus will rescue his people. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 and 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, there's coming a day, brother, that all the suffering we go through will count it as nothing when we experience the greatness of the glory of God at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I preach to you tonight, I believe relief is on the way. I believe that the Savior will soon arrive. Help will soon be here. And we'll soon exchange our cross for a crown. So the Bible says in my text, be ye also patient. He's referring to farmers waiting patiently for the harvest. And he's telling us, don't ever give up on the promised return of Jesus. Be patient like a farmer waiting on the harvest. Jesus is going to come. We're to stay focused on that promise. The Bible tells us that God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible tells us that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The scoffer says, Where is the promise of his coming? The evil servant says, my Lord hath delayed his coming. The doubter says, all things continue as they have since the beginning. So the believer says, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Praise God. The scoffers say, where is it? The believer says, it's on the way. Praise God. We're closer than we've ever been tonight. Jesus is coming. We're one day closer home tonight. So we have some practical preparation for his return mentioned in this passage of Scripture. He says, establish your hearts. In other words, strengthen your hearts. Equip your soul to stand firm, to be unmoved by trouble and temptation. He tells us to grudge not one against another. Behold, a judge standeth at the door. Don't be complaining against each other. Keep a right relationship towards your fellow Christians because Jesus is coming back. Oh, it'd be a sad day, wouldn't it, to be in a quarrel when Jesus comes with your brother or your sister. We can't afford to come down off of this wall that we are building on and engage in senseless conflict when Jesus is coming back again. Brother, for many people, this is no longer a living hope. It's just a formal creed. They remember what the church said, that Jesus was going to come again. But it's no longer a living hope for them. But in my heart tonight, it's a living hope that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Hallelujah. Brother, while rockets are falling in the Middle East, fired from Gaza into Israel, and Israel into Gaza, and people are dying over there in their constant struggle. We have been told, brother, that Israel was going home in the last days, and they have been home since 1948. And we have been told that this conflict is unsolvable and that it will not be solved until Antichrist comes on the scene and offers a plan of peace. So we see president after president fail to come up with some kind of plan that can solve the conflict in the Middle East because it's waiting on another man to step on the scene. A world ruler who will rise to prominence because he'll seem to have the answer to the Middle East problem. He's going to make a covenant of 7 years between Israel and the Palestinians, and it's going to look like that peace has happened. But in the middle of that 7 years, he's going to break his covenant. He's going to enter into the temple in Jerusalem, which means that there's going to be a temple built there in the near future, brother. I'm telling you, we have been watching prophecy unfold before our eyes. Israel not only went home in 1948, in 1967, they took Jerusalem back, their capital. They took it back in 1967. They had to have that in order to build a temple. They're going to build a temple. They've been preparing for it for years now. And Antichrist is going to go into that temple and declare that he is God. And the world is going to worship him. And we are getting closer and closer day by day. Hallelujah. We're watching a prophecy unfold before our eyes. Hallelujah. When these things begin to come to pass, the Bible says, it didn't say drop your head and start weeping and get afraid. It said lift your heads because your redemption is drawing nigh. Praise God. We're getting closer to the end of our journey, brother. Our troubles will soon be over. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we labor in hope. We work in hope. We labor with a sense of urgency because we know time is running out and Jesus is soon coming. Now, you may not be aware of that, and this may seem like just senseless prattle to you, But I'm telling you that the devil knows that he has but a short time. He understands the brevity of time. And the Bible says that he's working because he knows that he has but a short time. I pray that God will help us to wake up to the fact that we have but a short time. There's a sense of urgency, brother, about reaching souls. In this revival I preached last week, Sister Judy, you can come to the piano. This revival I preached last week at Brother Barty's, there was a young lady came to the altar and said she got saved. She's prayed and cried there. And I talked to Brother Barty a while ago, said she's back in service this morning. Thank God. I'm telling you, brother, we're snatching them out of the very fire, as it were. We're so close to the coming of the Lord. It's no time for you to be playing around with God. It's no time for you to be shirking your responsibilities and duties. It's time for us to make tracks in the direction of heaven. It's time for us, brother, to be rushing toward the Savior. It's time for us to get a hold of an experience with God that'll hold us steady in the time of trial and temptation. We're facing things that we've never faced before as a people of God. We just elected a president knowing how he feels toward the people of God, knowing how he feels toward righteousness and holiness, knowing how he feels about such serious issues as abortion and same-sex marriage. We put him back in the White House. I want to tell you, brother, it's a commentary on this nation that that man is going to be our president for four more years. But it is also a testimony of how close we're getting to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I ain't hanging my head. I'm not walking around fearful of what tomorrow holds. Got my eyes on the eastern skies. I'm looking for Jesus to come. The Bible told me, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your eyes. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Brother, we're having earthquakes all across this country. You know that? We're having earthquakes across places you never dreamed it'd be earthquakes. Still working on the Washington Monument, I understand, because of the earthquake we had here in Virginia just a few months ago. And Jesus told us that we'd see those kind of things. There'd be earthquakes, divers places, wars and rumors of wars. Did you know that over there where they're firing rockets, in the land of Israel, the lands around Israel, that 1,500, 2,000 years ago, those were Christian lands. And if those lands had stayed Christian, there wouldn't be no rockets firing. 1,500 years ago, those people converted from being Christians to being Muslims and set the stage for what we're seeing right now, an interminable conflict. I mean, these people are sworn to destroy the nation of Israel, and God has covenanted to protect them. Hallelujah. And preserve them. They may not realize it, but they're fighting against God because God has a covenant. Those people are not going to be destroyed. They're going to play a part in the end time. And we are looking at signs of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we're not just concerned about our own soul here tonight. We're concerned about our children, our neighbors, our friends that don't know Jesus. It's time for people to get right with God. Careless. Oh, my. The world looks at the situation. They read the news. They look at the news on their television. All they think about is what's happening today. They don't realize there's a pattern
a divine pattern being worked out in history, and that we're headed toward the coming of the Lord and the end of this age. They don't know that. They don't realize that. They don't think about that. But we do. We are not in darkness that that day should overtake us as a thief. We are children of the day and not of the night. Hallelujah. We are aware that there's a divine plan being carried out, and we are approaching the imminent return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you, is that a comfort to you? Because the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. Is that a blessed hope to you that Jesus Christ is coming? For he tells us, this is our blessed hope. Or is that just something that really doesn't mean much to us, that Jesus Christ is coming back again? You know, the only way that it'll mean something to you is if you love him. If you really love him. Now, you know, if a soldier has is away at war, he's got a wife back here in the States. She knows he's on a year deployment, and he ain't going to be back for a year. And so she spends that year enjoying herself with her old friends, going to the parties, the dances, flirting with the men, getting her a boyfriend, playing around while husband is over there exposed to danger, fighting on the battlefield. And she gets news, gets a letter, call. Husband's on his way home. He'll be home at a certain day. Brother, ain't no joy in her heart that her husband's coming back home when she hadn't been faithful to him. But if she's kept herself, if she's been faithful, if she has kept herself from the party life, she's been faithful to her husband, turned down any suitors that might have come her way, because she said, I got a husband, and I have a covenant and a vow, and I'm going to be faithful. And nobody's got my attention but my husband. I don't see him. He's away. But I'm waiting for him to come back. When the word comes that husband's on the way home, I tell you what, brother, she's going to be down there to meet him with joy in her heart. I'm glad to see my husband come back home. And it's that way with us. If we don't love him, it's bad news that Jesus is coming back. But if you love him, it's a comfort. It's a joy. It is a blessed hope if you love Jesus. I want us to stand together tonight. I want us to come and ask the Lord to help us. Help us to be ready for that glorious day. It could be tonight. Before we get back home, that the trumpet will sound and Jesus will call those who are ready to meet him in the air. Would you be ready? Would you go? Is there somebody here tonight that you know you're not ready? You can get ready around this altar tonight. You can get everything fixed with Jesus and get ready to go. Jesus is coming again.